New Year to everyone. We thank God for this 2022. Indeed, the Lord is good to us to grant us another year of service, another year we can honor Him and glorify Him in our lives. Though we are facing uncertainties and so much of turmoil ahead of us, we thank the Lord that He is preserving us. And as we continue to serve Him, may we be mindful of His good plan and His good promises to all of us. May we not be intimidated by the threatenings of this world. We are assured that we are having a good foundation. We have a rock. We stand on this rock, and this rock is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And help, and may the Lord help us to be reminded that He is really with us as we meditate upon this word given to us in John 16, 1 to 6. Let me read to you this portion of the scripture. The word of God says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." Amen. The Lord add His blessings upon the reading of His word. The Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, that if we live godly, and that if when he lived godly in Christ Jesus, he will suffer persecution. Suffering is a part of our Christian life. And we must understand that this is what we are going to face daily in our lives. The gospel of today, where they promote success, happiness, full of the joys and the hedonistic attitude of many to just seek for pleasures and entertainment, what the people of today are after. They are looking after these good things that they think would help them enjoy to eat, to drink, and be merry on this earth, on this side of the world. And that's why these mega preachers would say, your best life is now, in this side, in this part of the world. But the scriptures tells us that indeed we have to suffer persecution if we live godly in Christ Jesus. Even the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew chapter 5, preparing his disciples when he told them his beatitudes. In verse 10 to 12 of Matthew 5, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And here the Lord implies that indeed we are to be persecuted as Christians. But the assurance is that we have the kingdom of heaven. This is the kingdom of heaven. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you." And here is the blessedness, the joy of believers, that they will come to be persecuted, reviled, And they shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And then here the Lord tells us to rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And the people in the past, in the Old Testament, they also suffered. The prophets suffered. But the assurance is that they have the reward in heaven. Rejoice. That's why in the midst of persecution, in the midst of sufferings, in the midst of the revilings of these people to mock us, here is rejoicing. Not that we are glad and happy and are laughing at what they are doing at us. We know we suffer, but there is that joy in our hearts, that blessedness in our hearts that no one can take away. And there is the assurance that indeed we shall be with Him for eternity. There is a great reward in heaven. And the more that we shall suffer persecution if we are to serve Him. In Matthew chapter 10, we have here God's or the Lord Jesus' instructions to the disciples when He called them, the 12 of them, to be sent as witnesses. And in verse 16, we know that the Lord warned them, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." And this is not easy for a flock of sheep in the midst of wolves. It's scary. "Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." It will come. And the Lord Jesus also tells us in Matthew 24 that not only when we live godly in Christ Jesus or in Him that we be persecuted and suffer persecution, and not only that we serve Him and evangelize and witness for Him, that we shall be like sheep in the midst of wolves. We also have to face great tribulation, especially in the end times. Matthew 24 tells us this when the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned that in verse 8, "All these are the beginning of sorrows. There shall be the rising of nation from against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places." And then in verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And we may ask why. Why is this the case? And many Christians would think, what is the purpose of being a Christian? Why, when I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm supposed to be one who is protected by this omnipotent God, omniscient God, and why should I suffer? I should be the most happy or the happiest person on earth because I have God with me. Why I am to face tribulation? Well, we know in the past messages, I believe this was expounded well in John 15, in verse 18. Jesus Himself told us, "If the world hates you, you know what? That it hated me before it hated you." This world is against Christ. This world is anti-God. This world is ruled by the prince, who is the devil himself. If you were of the world, then the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And this is the reason. And we thank the Lord that we are not of the world. And if we suffer persecution, we understand that indeed we are not of the devil. We are of God. We are of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may be in the world, but we are not of the world. And this is a good sign that we suffer persecution, because that shows that we live godly for Him. And we are reviled and mocked because that shows that we are testifying and witnessing for Him. And we are to face rejection and to be put out of our churches, even to be reviled and be labeled as evil people because we are of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we ready to suffer? Every time there are new students coming to FEBC, our principal would always ask, "Are you ready to suffer?" And the students would be alarmed. Why? I thought I'm going to a Bible college. And if you think of a Bible college, people there would be loving, would be caring, you know, full of hospitality, loving strangers, and they would be full of joy. It's like heaven on earth. It is a Bible college. Well, the principal tells us, you must be ready to suffer. Because the moment that you decide to enter into the Bible college, Satan is not happy with what you are doing. You will be one of the captains or generals to fight against him. And surely he will do all things to destroy you, to discourage you, to put you out of that college in order for you to not do the work of the Lord. And so also with Christians, when we come to decide to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan would not be at ease. He will find all means to destroy and to disturb us, that we may not actively serve in the church, do the ministries, and not to attend the worship services, and to always complain with our leaders and complain with our preachers, and wants to divide the church and cause so much of troubles in the church. And he will do this by disturbing us, by causing us to suffer, so that we will complain and murmur and do things against him. Are we ready to suffer? And it's an important question for all of us. Because if we are not, you better not say you're a Christian. Because the moment that you say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I want to follow him, that also means that I am ready to suffer for him. Are we ready to suffer? And I purposely use this word we. Not just asking you, because the most important question would be, am I ready to suffer? There are so many preachers who would just ask the congregation, are you? Will you? But the best question that he must ask, will I? Am I ready? In fact, I failed God. With this question here, it's a good title to remind me. And to ask myself, am I really ready to suffer? The Lord Jesus Christ here in verses 1 and 2 reminds us that there is always this suffering. There is persecution. There is a cross to carry. There is a fight, and the enemy would cause us to be overwhelmed sometimes, to think that we are defeated. And the Lord reminds us that this will come. This is a reminder for us. Are we ready to suffer? A reminder for all of us. To ponder, to ask ourselves, as we start 2022 and see the news, well, there is now a surge of the Omicron cases. Are we ready to suffer? And not just with this pandemic, but more especially in our spiritual lives, with our walk with God. Are we ready to suffer? Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended." I remind you these things because I don't want you to be offended. And this word offended here is taken from the word, the Greek word that means that that's where we get the word scandalize. So that you will not be scandalized. And in this context, it's not just scandalize to cause you to be confused, but it is the idea of apostatizing, so that you will not be falling away, so that you will not turn away from the faith, because this will come. And I want you to be reminded. This is a reminder for you. Are you ready to suffer? Are we ready to suffer? Because if we are not reminded and we think that Christian life is just a bed of roses, walking on a red carpet, you are deceived. And you will easily fall back and turn around and say, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. I don't want to follow Christ anymore. If this is the way, if this is such a thorny way, if this is such a rocky way, if this is such a stormy way, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. What is the use of being a Christian if I will just be facing this kind of troubles? But Jesus says, you must remind yourself, am I ready to suffer? Because the moment that you know and you are reminded, when the persecution, the troubles will come, you'll say, this is it. And you will not be offended. You will not be scandalized. You will not turn away because you know that it will come. Jesus says here that ye should not be offended, that ye should not turn away from the faith. This is not just being stumbled. This is not just being offended in our hearts or emotions. No, Jesus is talking about the danger of falling away. You will apostatize. And that is the reason, or that is the action of those people who are not truly believers, because they are not ready to face suffering. They did not say, Lord, as I swear that I should follow you, I also swear that I must be ready to face sufferings and persecution. I may fail. I may sometimes give in to the temptation to turn back. Thank God for the Spirit of God that will lead us back into the truth, to convict us and to show us that this is not the Christian way for you to turn away from Christ. Instead, you have to draw closer unto Him, to cling to Him, to abide in Him, to hold on Him, so that we can continue on to face sufferings and persecution. It is only in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can continue on living in this kind of life, bombarded by all the sufferings and persecutions in life. And the Lord Jesus did not just mean words. He provided an example. And in fact, He mentions here the extreme example, that they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you. You know, when we are being taken with from our jobs or positions, we may find another. Or if we are being pushed out from any ministry, then we can start our own. Or if we or our friends will leave us, then we can find another group of friends. But when we are told they will kill you, I don't think that's what I purpose to enter into this church. I want to live, not to die. Why is it that when I become a Christian, then there are people who desires to kill me, to destroy me? And he says here that they will kill you with the thought and with the assurance in their hearts and mind that they are doing God service. The word service here is a word that describes also the word to worship. Meaning that when they kill you, actually they think that we are worshiping God. So this gives us the idea that those who will persecute us, those who will kill us, are not only the people of the world, not only the people who don't know God, not only the people who are outside of the church, they are those who are inside the church and who even think that when they do this, they are doing service to God. They are worshiping the Lord and they thank God for killing these people. Let us be reminded of this. For we must not be ignorant of this truth, for if it will come, we must be ready. So this is a reminder for us. And not only that this is a reminder, God give this question to us, are we ready to suffer? To know the reason why we are to face persecution. And Jesus tells us, and these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. So these people may be in the church. They are inside the church. They are even serving the church. They are even leading churches. They are even pastors of churches. But they do not know the Father nor me. A while ago I shared that I failed this warning, this reminder, to show to me that I must preach this with understanding that I must be ready also. A few weeks ago, I heard reports. I thought it was just hearsay of our missionaries there. I think including Brother Loreto also went to a Thanksgiving service. And one of our missionaries testified that he is thankful to the Lord to be in a church which preached the Reformed doctrines of the Christian faith. And after him came those pastors who were the majority in that church, lambasted them, made so many evil and nasty accusations, even calling them, this doctrine that you are preaching, especially this tulip, this is satanic. I could take that because I know people who are not in the BP or in the Reformed faith, they don't accept this, they are not in the position to believe in this Calvinistic doctrine. But what angered me, and that was my failure, was that this Thanksgiving was done in a church built by the Bible Presbyterian. I mean, not to be so emotional that this is the money of the Bible Presbyterian, but I know the very source of these funds. It is taken, it was a donation from an old member of BP Church in Singapore. She gave a part, and even a big part, where she gave this amount in order for this church to be built. Because this church before was almost, it was rotting, it was almost nothing. But then this lady who knew that this church is dilapidated, almost to be, you know, just when it will crash, she gave most of her resources to build this church. And then after this, with their thanksgiving, these pastors accuse and say this doctrine, this reform, these things that you are preaching is satanic. And I was of course moved, and I was unable to hold myself, and I said, well, if this is the case, then we will, if they want separation, separation, isolation, isolation. Don't want to support them anymore. These were the pastors who attended some of our Bible conference just a few weeks back. And then after that, they were saying bad to the doctrines that they have heard. Were they there? They know already those doctrines that will be preached. Were they there because of the food? Were they there just because they are provided? And then after that, they will just turn back and say evil words. Well, I thank the Lord for this reminder. This will come. And I must not be one who will fight back. The Lord reminds us that we must be harmless as doves. I ask the Lord for forgiveness of what I felt. I wanted to stop all my Bible studies with that denomination. I thank God that the Lord reminded me we must be ready to suffer, but continue to minister to those who are still desiring to hear God's word. Because we know the reason. They don't know. They're ignorant. They do not know the Father. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they are preaching about Him. They are telling that they are Christians. They are building churches. They're claiming to believe in Christ, but they do not know Him. They do not know the Father. And instead of being angry with them, I pity them. Because I know that in the days to come, they will face God and they will say, oh, we have built this church. We are a big denomination. We have done so much. We have missions. We have done this ministry. And God will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Will I be angry with them? I should not. Instead, I should pity them, and I should pray for them, that the Lord will be merciful to open their eyes that they may know the truth. And we may suffer, I may suffer of these evil accusations, but I must be ready not to fight back, but to do that which is right according to the eyes of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, even forgive those who nailed Him on the cross. Are we ready to suffer? Am I ready to suffer? I was not, and I am not. I am still praying, Lord, help me. This heart of mine still wants to revenge, to take revenge, to avenge. And I pray the Lord will help me to face sufferings and persecution just like Him. For we must understand that they do this without the knowledge of who God is. They don't know the Father nor the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a reminder for us, and to show us the reason why we should be ready for this persecution that we may be ready to suffer, and it is also a reassurance to all of us. When the Lord Jesus tells this truth to his disciples, he was not causing them to be fearful or threatening them. He did not say these things in order for them to be running away. He gave these words to them to reassure them. In verse 4, he says, but, this may come, but, these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, yes, it will come. Surely it will come. Ye may remember that I told you of them. And because I told you these things, you must understand that it is part of my decree. It's part of my plan. And if it is part of my decree, part of my plan, I know what I'm going to do. I will not be surprised. I will not be taken aback what to do next. Because in fact, I planned all these things. It is before me. I knew all these things. Be assured that as you know this from my mouth, you must come to me when the time will come that you will face this persecution and sufferings and say, Lord, here it is now. We are in this situation. We know that you know all these things, and we trust that you will see us through all this suffering and persecution. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. When the Lord Jesus Christ was with them, all the attacks of the enemy was against Christ. Even the attacks of the Pharisees and the Sadducees were against him. The disciples were spared. They were always at the back of Jesus. Oh, here are the enemies, and then they will hide at the back of Christ, and the Lord Jesus will talk to them and tell them of the errors of their ways. But now the Lord Jesus told them, I will go to my Father. I'll go my way to him that sent me. Now you'll be left here. But later we will be assured that we know, as we have read earlier also, that another comforter will be provided. And this comforter is the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. So you will not be left orphans. You'll not be left alone. God will be with you. In fact, Jesus Christ even promised that I will not leave you nor forsake you. So you will face this, but I will be with you. You will face this, but I will be your strength. You will face this, but be reassured that I will be giving you my support, my help, my provision, everything that you need. I will be there for you. So that when we say we are ready to suffer, we are also saying we are ready to cling into God. We are ready to draw closer to him. We are ready to hide behind him. It is a great reassurance. We may be filled with sorrow in our hearts, just like the disciples, because we are to suffer. Is this Christianity? You know, when we evangelize, if we evangelize and we say, you know, you must come to believe so that you will suffer, maybe nobody will come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We always say, you have a good plan. Is it not? When you share God's word, you know, God loves you. God has a good plan for you. And when they come in, you will say, well, this good plan is for you to suffer. What? Are you joking? Well, we have a short period of time of sufferings, carrying our crosses, but we are assured that we will have eternity of joy and a crown to wear forever and ever. I mean, the crown will be put and offered before the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord that this world will cause us to suffer to be persecuted. He will hate us so that we will long for heaven. We thank the Lord that the prince of this world does not like us to be in the church and serve God, because we will not love the things of the materials and whatever entertainments of this world. We thank God that we shall be hated here, for we know there is a desire for us to be loved for eternity in His kingdom in heaven. If you find yourself so comfortable and convenient in this world, and you think everything is fine, and you want every, you know, there are people who want heaven on earth, that is really a deception. Because you may think that this is heaven, but actually it is to the standard of your lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you think, well, this is heaven. You don't find heaven on this earth. Heaven is in heaven. Well, we know that we are in heaven when we are with the Lord Jesus Christ in wealth. By the Spirit of God, positionally, we are already saints. We are seen by God as glorified people to be with Him for eternity. Our names are already in the book of life. We have a reservation in that mansions in heaven. We are assured because we are citizens of the kingdom of God. But while here on earth, don't look for a satisfaction, contentment that you think this is the best place for me. Sufferings and persecutions and tribulation are good for believers and Christians so that we will be drawn closer to God and long for heaven. Long to be with Him. Long to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we have to persevere, to continue on. We are already told. The start of the year. What a title to start. I should have thought of another better title to have this, you know, second Lord's Day of the year. Maybe you'll be asking why. Of all questions, of all titles, you are asking us to think of suffering for 2022. I overheard one lady who told us, she says, you know, 2022, he said, it is 2022 or 2020 part 2. And if you recall what happened in 2020, you'll be scared if this is part 2 of that 2020. Well, we don't want that. We have to think that this is actually 2022, not 2022 or part 2. And God may be giving us more of this tribulation, but be assured that He is with us later as we go forward to these verses in chapter 16. I will not steal the thunder of the next preachers. We have the assurance of His presence through the Holy Spirit. And as I recall some of the things that I tried to look at the... By the way, this year, church history is offered in FEBC. And this one thing that we have to be mindful of. This truth of God's word told to the people during the 30s, AD, happened already in the past centuries. And we have the church history to tell us that indeed the believers, the Christians in those days, went through a great suffering and persecution Yet they continued on to trust and rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. One of these were the group called the Waldensians or the Waldenses. This was during the time of the 12th century, around 1177, when one rich, wealthy man called Peter Waldo, he asked one of the priests to translate the Latin Bible into their own language, their dialect. And when the people knew and heard and read the translated Bible, they came to know that faith or salvation is by faith alone, not in the church. And this was part of the preparation of the Reformation. You know, Reformation came in the 1500s. This was still in the 1100s, 12th century. Reformation is the 16th century. And this caused many to follow the teachings of Waldo, and that was on getting and giving up their wealth, following the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching the Word of God, that it is only by faith that man can be saved. And so there were many, including Peter Waldo, give up his wealth and went on peddling this translated Bible to as many places as they could. And they organized a society called the Poor Man's Society. And they were peddling the Bible, the Word of God. And it came to the attention of the Roman Catholics in those days. So that one council, and they called this Council of Valencia, decided to forbid this movement, these Waldensians, the Waldenses. And they decreed in this council that only the priest can read the Bible. And by that time, the Bible was included in the index of forbidden books. So therefore, those who are peddling and those who are reading this Bible, they are under the condemnation of the Roman Catholic Church. And there was an inquisition against them. There was a murderous campaign. So that not only hundreds but thousands were slain, tortured with great cruelty. Examples of this, like pregnant women, those who have infants, were even pushed into rocks, into the cliff, to roll and die, suffer such great persecution. But they continued on to trust in God. They did not recant their faith. Even though they have seen some of those women being pushed and rolling towards the cliff and die, they continued on to hold on because they know the truth. There were about 400 women and children who were hidden inside a cave. And when the priest, the Roman Catholic people, knew that there were these women and children inside a cave, they torched the opening of that cave. They lit fire, causing the death of those women and children inside. Those were the great persecution in those days. Nothing of our sufferings now can be compared to what they faced before. We know today that there are also persecutions. Some of our graduates in FEBC, one was jailed in a certain country. And I heard from our elder that this country not even preventing people to gather, even online worship, or also now banned. One of our FEBC students says also that in their own country, in India, There is now a part, a state there that they have this proposed bill to avoid religions to share their faith. And if they do this, there is persecution. Not only from the people around, but even from the government. This will come. In our country, sadly, persecutions come even from those who believe they are fundamental Christians. Are we ready to suffer? Am I ready to suffer? That's a question that I should ask myself. I pray the Lord will help me. I pray the Lord will help you. We are facing 2022, and I believe this is not by accident that we have this message at the beginning of the year. Don't be threatened. Don't be scared. Don't be sorrowful. Trust in the Lord. We have the reassurance from Him that indeed the Spirit of God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us, and He will come so that we shall be with Him. He will come. For when these troubles and tribulations and famine and all these persecutions will come, the Lord says, look up, for your redemption is nigh. Just like a woman in travail, maybe painful, unimaginable pain, but there will come a life to be born. Are we ready to suffer? I pray the Lord will help us to be reminded that these persecutions and sufferings will come, but understand the reason, so that we will not be fighting against and be taking revenge. Avenging, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That we continue to submit ourselves to whatever sufferings that we have to face, and yet we are assured that He is with us. He's our shield, He's our protection. He will guide us, and there is a place where He's preparing for us to live for eternity with Him in His kingdom in heaven. Look up, for redemption draweth nigh. Let us pray. Our Father,